Spirit Radio Podcasts.
The first week in July normally marks the date for the All-Ireland Rally for Life, an event which alternates between Dublin and Belfast. This year is no different, except that it will be online this year due to COVID-19 restrictions and will run for 5 days, from tomorrow, Wednesday the 1st of July, until Sunday the 5th of July. So while it won't involve a day in the sun, or possibly the rain, it does offer new opportunities for a wide audience to view a number of very interesting films and to hear keynote talks from a diverse group of speakers. On the line to tell us more, we have one of the organisers of the Rally for Life, Niamh Ivrian of the Life Institute. You're very welcome to the show, Niamh. How are you?
I'm great, Nolan. Thanks very much for having us on.
So, first of all, Niamh, this is the second Rally for Life since the recognition of the right to life of the unborn was removed from the Irish Constitution, and we have a new government. Does the pro-life movement hold out much hope that the new government will roll back on some of the more extreme aspects of the abortion legislation?
Well, the theme of the rally this year is that we're united for life, and as people might actually not be aware that the abortion statistics, in other words, the numbers around the number of abortions that have taken place under the new regime, have not yet been released for 2019, which was the first year, of course, in which abortions were performed in Ireland. But we're expecting to get those numbers today. And I think what will be very important this week is to remember that all of us who voted no, and many other people, I think, who have grave concerns about what's coming out now about the new abortion regime, are united for life. And we're united for life because we're saying we'll always stand together for mothers and for babies, whether we're doctors or nurses on the front line, whether we're people providing supports to crisis pregnancies, women with crisis pregnancies, whether we're groups like ourselves or organising rallies or seminars or conferences, that we're always going to stand up for mothers and babies. And I think the government that's incoming is not, unfortunately, giving us any sign that they are going to address some of the more very serious concerns people have about the legislation. I know in the programme for government, they're talking about bringing in exclusion zones, which I'm going to have Maria Steen on to talk about that at the rally, which would effectively, I suppose, seek to criminalise people who want to go outside abortion centres to pray or to hold vigil or to offer a better answer for mother and baby. So, you know, does the incoming government look good for pro-life? It doesn't look like, but that doesn't mean that we should stop being a voice for mothers and babies. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't continue to stand together for life. And that's what this week is all about.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about the rally, absolutely, and I want to get the details and the whys and wherefores and what's going on and all the rest. But before we do, it's seldom enough I get a chance to chat to you, so I just felt like... So here I was chatting away with Steve just before we were talking to you, and one of the things that occurred to me about the fact that we are now in a situation where it's now law, the right to life of the unborn is kind of now gone in terms of the law. We know it hasn't gone because the right to life is the right to life, and you know it's still a right there. But what I was going to say is, we kind of lost the argument. You know, we had the consensus for years and years and years and years. We had an opportunity to try and bring more people. And you know, there was a kind of an arm wrestle about who to feel more sorry for, who to have more compassion on. This is what this was all about. And somehow or another, we had this opportunity to go and really let people know. And somehow we lost that. We lost that particular fight. And my worry for this entire thing is that we could end up being this minority voice. And a little bit of an echo chamber, all of us getting together, licking our wounds and feeling like, well, at least I'm not on my own. There are other people who feel the same way as I do. And we can encourage each other. And, you know, that's very valid and that's great. But the problem is there is still a nation that needs to be convinced even more now. Because now that the actual, if you like, the law has changed, people tend to, you know, inertia even makes people go, well, sure, it's the way things are now. We've got an even bigger job to win. So what I'm wondering is, how do you stop this kind of event turning out, stopping it from becoming this kind of minority echo chambery little kind of place where people go to kind of lick their wounds and just mind themselves, rather than, no, actually, we need to get out and change minds again?
Well, that's a really good point, because I think the rally does serve its own purpose. I think it is important to recognise that every movement has a coming together. You know, we're tribal by nature, Ronan, and people like to come together, especially when you've lost a referendum and you do feel like you're in the minority. And the rally is an important place for people to come together and to feel motivated, to feel inspired, to feel that they're part of a movement and that they're still represent one in every three people in this country.
Very good.
But it wouldn't actually matter, to be honest, if you represented 1% of the country. You know, the truth doesn't change simply because people voted down. And I think that's an important thing for people to hold on to, you know. But you are correct that the pro-life movement shouldn't become an echo chamber. And for me, I know it was always very public outreach was always the most important part of pro-life work. And I think what we've seen in other countries, and we've probably seen with the Rally for Life throughout the years, is that when you bring people together, you're bringing them together to be informed and inspired and motivated to go back out then and become, like, if you like, evangelicals for life, you know, to become out there talking to people, explaining the truth about them, bringing the pro-life message to them and trying to get them to listen. Because, you know, it's changing culture and changing public mood is a difficult thing. And one of the big reasons that we lost, of course, is because most of the mainstream media was very much pushing one view on people all of the time. And you're correct. People were made to feel that if you voted no, you were voting against women rather than for mother and baby. And it was very difficult to win that battle when you didn't have, when you had the mainstream media so stacked against the pro-life message for so long. And that's why platforms like this one and platforms like Rift and those are so important. Absolutely. But the rally event itself this year, I think, you know, addresses several of the things you raised there.
Okay,
on.
Good. So tell us all about it. I'd love you to tell me about the documentary. I'd like to tell you about the format. Yeah, so, first of all, this is the documentary's important, isn't it? Because that was one of the pivots for the original change.
It absolutely was. Like, I think a lot of people agree that the way the very tragic death of Savita Halappanavar was exploited by the media was why the 8th was really repealed. You know, it caused a swing in the culture. It caused a change in public mood that was very, very difficult to combat. So on Wednesday, which is tomorrow, we're showing online, like the online premiere of a very important documentary called A Silent Killer, Savita's Story. And it's really about how Savita Halappanavar contracted sepsis and how that led to her death. And it interviews legal experts, medical experts, but in a way that I think anybody can engage with. It premiered on TV3 about 5 years ago, but I think a lot of pro-life people haven't seen it yet. And if you want to understand why Savita died, if you want to, you know, have a good grasp on the medical and legal issues around her death, so that you can then talk about that to people who still believe that she died because of the Eighth Amendment, that's a must see tomorrow at 7:30 on the Rally for Life website. And because everything's online this year, everything you can watch everything either on Facebook, YouTube, or on the rallyforlife.net website. So I urge people to go and check those out before things kick off tomorrow.
And you're showing the Unplanned movie as well, which many people probably haven't seen yet.
I know, and Unplanned is one of those tremendous success stories, I think, for the pro-life movement. You know, it was a box office hit. It tells the story of Abby Johnson, who worked in Planned Parenthood, who worked in one of the world's biggest abortion providers, and what she saw changed her mind. She became not just a pro-life advocate, but she set up an organization to help people leave Planned Parenthood and to stop performing abortions, to leave the industry and come and see and advocate for a better answer for mothers and babies.
I was going to say, I don't know what's not to like here. You go to a rally and you get to see two movies.
But it's a brilliant movie. Like, I saw it, I'm sure you saw it running when it came, thousands more went to see it. And a lot of, we ran this project where we gave people free tickets if they wanted to bring somebody who had voted yes or somebody who was unsure about the issue to see it. And that was tremendous because we had people saying, you know, I brought girls from work and one of them had voted yes and she said she couldn't believe what she saw and, you know, she regretted her vote now. So anything, not that you want to cause regret, but you want to cause
what
people understand. Things like that are movies like this, I think, which tell a very compelling story but also deliver a very good pro-life message are brilliant. And again, that's 7:30 on Thursday. You register to watch, but free for everybody to see it as well.
So the rally itself takes place on Saturday. Can you tell us about some of the speakers?
Yeah, so an amazing lineup of speakers. And obviously, you know, this is a learning curve for us, Rhoda,
sure,
you know, because normally it takes place on the street and everybody's there with flags and there's a lot of buzz and energy. And we're hoping to bring that same buzz and energy to the online rally on Saturday. And I think we will. In the morning, we have some very carefully managed, socially distant pro-life witnesses.
Well done.
They're going to be sending photos and live footage to us from around the country. I think that's going to be a lovely occasion for people to come together in a socially distanced way.
And there's a prayer event too, is that right?
And there's a lovely prayer vigil the night before, coming live at 7:30 from St. Mary's in the Dominican Priory in Cork. Absolutely gorgeous. I think that's going to be lovely.
Okay.
With music and prayer.
So, Niamh, tell us how people can get involved in the Rally for Life, because if it's going to be online, I presume you've got a URL for us, have you?
Absolutely. So it's rallyforlife.net, okay. Or you can go onto Facebook and go onto the All Ireland Rally for Life Facebook page,
okay.
and watch everything there. But be part of it. Use the hashtags Rally for Life, United for Life.
Yeah.
Send us your photos. You know, we've lots of young people, of families who are going to wear their Rally for Life t-shirts and put up their photos, share their photos on social media, on Insta, Twitter, Facebook, wherever they're at.
Lovely.
To be part of the rally that way. Listen
Perfect.
In to the great speakers. You've got people like Eduardo Verastegui, who's this amazing Mexican filmmaker and actor who talks about using your talents kind of as a mission for the pro-life movement. With Lila Rose, Jeannie Mancini from the March for Life USA, Bernie Smith, an amazing woman, Obi Anuju Ekioka from Culture of Life Africa, who's just a phenomenal advocate for African
us, yeah.
women, and who says, you know, what women need is maternal health care, better maternal health care, not abortion.
Super.
Every Life Counts, Gianna Kerr,
Brilliant.
Carol Nolan,
okay.
and lots more.
Thanks very much. Niamh Nivreen of the Life Institute. Remember, it's rallyforlife.net. Go there, okay?
Thanks a million, Ronan.
Brilliant. God bless you, and God bless the work. Bye now.
Spirit.
Lockdown has been a busy time for church leaders across Ireland. They've been busy bringing church services online and doing their best to still serve their church members and community from a distance or remotely. And our next guest is pastor of a church in Dublin that, in addition to many of his church members being frontline workers, the church building is currently in the middle of a significant building project. On the line to tell us more, we have Pastor Avram Haddarow of the Betaniah Church in Blanchardstown in Dublin. You're very welcome to the show, Pastor Avram. How are you?
Hi, Ronan, and thank you for having me today. God bless you and all the Spirit Radio listeners.
Thank you so much. First of all, Pastor Avram, you've been particularly busy during COVID-19, the pandemic, in serving your church, as I believe you've a substantial number of your church members who are themselves frontline workers. Is that true?
Yes, it's a privilege for me to speak on behalf of a big army that is working hard to serve the community and expand God's kingdom in the whole island. We organize prayer for the frontline workers. We have more than 60 people from our church, nurses, doctors, and staff working in the hospital and nursing homes.
So, how has COVID-19 impacted on those particular people and their households?
Well, it was a big and massive challenge for us, for our members. Some of them were sick in hospital, some lost a loved one here in Ireland, and also back home. And we try to keep close as much as possible through Zoom meetings and conference with all our members, and also with the English service. And we are trying to do all kinds of ways to use the technology to keep close to our members.
Yeah, I can absolutely imagine. Now, I'm right in saying, am I, Avram, that that your church, you know, has quite a number of members from Romania, from our Romanian immigrant population. Is that
yes.
right? So,
yes.
So in a lot of ways, the church performs so much more than a kind of. I know the worship is extraordinarily important, and teaching and pastoring and that, but it actually provides a real kind of community meeting point as well, doesn't it?
Yes, we have. We used to have, before the COVID, services on Sunday, AM service at PM, and also we have all kinds of activities. We have kids camps, male and female camps, conferences with different topics throughout the year.
Yeah.
Also with the Christmas carol concert that we organize once a year at Helix in DCU.
Yeah, now you're very busy during the lockdown. I know the thing that I heard about was the masks and the face protection to the Gardaí in Blanchardstown, which I thought was a bit of genius actually. But you did other things as well, didn't you? Did you were helping nurses as well?
Yes. Yeah, one day I went with Valeria, our pastor, to Garda station in Blanchardstown, and we provided some masks because they asked the communities around if they have any. I remember there was shortages. And also our youth planned a project called Feed the Heroes and organized coffees and sandwiches for nurses in Blanchardstown Hospital and also in St. Vincent Hospital. We were also trying to help the old and vulnerable that needed work around the house. We had teams or two guys to go and help. And also we were offering shopping for those in need. And also every Sunday we were doing projects for the homeless.
It's, it's brilliant.
Outreach to the community.
Terrific witness of love as well, you know, brilliant. Just incredible gospel there, you know. And in addition to all of this, you're right slap bang, as I was saying at the beginning, in the middle of a significant building project. Can you tell us about the building?
Oh, yeah, that's amazing project God gave us to do. Everything started 8 years ago with a prayer request. We prayed and asked God to give us a land so we can build a place of worship, a house of prayer for all nations, for all people down in Ireland. That was back in 2012. We prayed for about 3 years, and we had different meetings with estate agents and the Fingal County Council. And back in 2015, we got the approval for land, and we got a land lease for 250 years, three acres and a half.
Wow.
In Tillstown, W15.
Brilliant.
And then back in 2017, we got planning permission, and at the moment, we are right in the middle of work. We're working hard. We have a design team helping us, you know, with the architects, engineers, structural engineers, and all these kind of guys. And then a project manager from our church and a large number of volunteers. Sometimes more than 40, 50 people are working on Saturdays mainly. And also during the week, the way they can organize themselves with work. And all the funds come from donations from our members.
Wow. Now, what do you anticipate in terms of the build itself? When do you think you're going to have it done? What do you need for it? You know, give us an idea of its scale.
We are hoping, praying, and working hard, and hopefully at the end of the year, before Christmas, to have the grand opening. It's a lot of work, but
sure is. Yeah.
We think and we believe we can finish it in time.
And Avram, did the work have to stop on the build during lockdown, or were you able to keep going?
Yes, we had to stop for a good few weeks. We provided 24-hour security daily and nighttime, and basically the volunteers from our church helped with that.
So when it finally gets finished, what are your hopes for the building, for your church members, and also in terms of outreach to the community?
Yeah, we have some plans, and we also praying for more vision for the years ahead. And at the moment, we're planning to organize all sorts of events and projects with kids, youths, after school program, creche, music school, a different type of instrument, counseling support. Drop off coffee. We have the schools in Tillistown beside us, and the parents, we're going to drop off. There'll be hundreds of parents
there
every morning.
Yeah, there will. You're absolutely
and,
right.
Will be a good way to spread the gospel and show love and care for the people in our community.
Yeah, it could be a fruitful harvest ground. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be fabulous. Now, I've got to let the listeners know, Avram, that that you guys, you know, at the very moment when you were really looking for help and you were looking for funds and all that kind of thing, that actually right in the middle of that, you were incredibly generous to us as a station, and you helped us during our time of trying to find some help. So I just want to encourage people to help you at the moment as well. So how can people kind of contribute to your church fund?
What we've done for Spirit Radio from a few weeks ago, it was a seed of faith we planted, because we believe when we give, you will receive back.
Yeah, amen.
And
amen.
That was the way we lead, and it's our vision, you know.
Sure.
And that's why we kind of took this decision. One of our members suggested, and I rang Spirit Radio and told him about this offer. Well, if there's anyone around that can and willing to help us, they can find us at www.betania.ie.
Okay.
Or they can send an email at info@betania.ie.
Yeah.
Our address is in Powerstown Road, Tillstown, W15. And
right.
We've Facebook, YouTube channel. We're not really good on having all the songs and all our project in English, but now it's a good time, and it's a challenge for us to get ready for more like the English, serving more the
absolutely, exactly. That's going to be your harvest. Is going to be out there, you know. That's your witness place is people who speak. So betania.ie, that's betania.ie, is your website.
Yes.
Pastor Avram,
we have a generation that is born here and they are ready to take over.
Absolutely, that's great to hear. Brilliant. God bless the work, Pastor Avram Hadarow of Betania Church in Dublin. Thank you so much for talking to us today.
Okay,
God bless you.
Thank you for having me. God bless.
Bye bye. Spirit.
Ireland.
Now, one of the interviews I've enjoyed doing over the last few months is what we call Pastor Links, where we've been talking to pastors and priests around the country about how their congregations are adjusting to the COVID-19 crisis. So with churches reopening this week, it's great to have a Pastor Link this morning with our old friend, Gary McDowell, minister at Greystones Presbyterian. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Good morning. Don't go, Roland. Don't go. I'm starting.
I'd say I'll probably only be gone for a couple of weeks. So Gary, listen, how are you getting on? What's this week like for you, being the big kind of reopening, as it were?
Yeah, well, that's right. It's more confusing than whenever it was lockdown.
Yeah.
At least you got a feel of what you were doing. All of a sudden, our world has been shaken, and we're thinking, how do we get back to church again, or how do we do church in the way we used to? Truth is, we won't do that. So yeah, there's been a lot of talking. We had a committee meeting last night for a couple of hours to discuss the practical things of how we put stuff in place, all the things that we're familiar with, like social distancing and sanitation and cleaning and all those kind of things to keep us safe. So it's a whole new world, but we've just got to go with it.
And did you find that there were quite a lot of kind of rules and regulations that you had to check out? Do we have this? Do we have that? Or do you know, separations, distances, all that kind of stuff? Did you have to kind of pace your own church and go, what do we have space for?
Yeah, well, that is exactly right. Yeah, it's all of those things that we're very familiar with. But in churches, it's maybe a little bit more difficult because it's a place where people want to come together and hug each other and sing. I mean, praise is such a big part of what we do.
You know what? You're absolutely right. And that's and some places are going, let's not do singing because it creates these particulates in the air. I don't know. What's your own feeling on that?
Well, I mean, the advice is not to sing at the moment, so we're not going to.
Right.
But that doesn't mean we can't, have someone sing a song as a performance kind of thing.
Sure.
We're just kind of feeling a way. These first three Sundays in July, we're using because what we've been doing is pre-recording our services.
Yeah.
Which has been great. Well, we have many people involved, and I do my talk. We've got people praying. Just people speaking. We see the boys and girls. We see everybody, and that's been wonderful. And we're going to continue that for the next 3 weeks. But we're going to open our church for people to watch the video in church. So they can be in there, and it's going to be kind of strange in a sense. But at least we're going to open our doors. People, if they'd like to, if they feel comfortable to, can come back in. And we will have things roped off. We'll have hand sanitizers on the way in. We're going to have a one-way system around the church so people don't pass each other. But these first three Sundays, we'll be watching something, and we'll be kind of using it as a way of feeling our way into what it's going to look like. And then on the fourth Sunday, we'll do a service proper, a live service, so to speak. So that's when it will get more interesting. End of the month.
It sure will. I take your point. It's actually, the reopening is much more complicated than the shutting down, because you kind of lock down and it's just like, okay, everybody go home. We'll do this by Zoom, or we'll do this by whatever. Whereas this is, how do you kind of tentatively make steps back into openness? And it's tricky, isn't it?
Very tricky. Yeah, I mean, initially when it was awful having to stop.
Sure.
I mean, that was awful, but it just suddenly came. It was like a shutter came down and we had to find our way, especially with technology, how to keep in touch. And I mean, I'm not technologically very good at all.
But you and me both, man.
I've loved putting it all together and getting people involved. And actually, it's reached a lot of people beyond what we would normally, because there's people all over the world, really, watching some of the stuff that we do, which is really, really, really great. But as we try to feel our way in, what's church going to look like? I feel we can make it a really special occasion coming together. It will be different, but I don't think that's a bad thing necessarily. I think it's how we approach it. And actually, I'm quite excited by the challenge of it, and to see what God's going to do through this, because he knows what's happening. He's got it in control. And it's not going to be to the detriment of his church. It's going to be, there's going to be blessing in it, I feel.
Absolutely. And there is something kind of very gospel-y about the idea that we're being kind of thrown back out in the street to kind of, look outward again, and look outward and look to people who aren't necessarily in the pews. That's something, there's something very, very kind of gospel about that, isn't there?
Well, yeah, the world seems to be changing fast, and the challenges of the church are many, but I think that can be good. We're shaken out of our comfort zones. Because we get very comfortable doing church. You know, we know what we're doing. Yeah. We get very professional at it, and we can make it look really good.
And we're surrounded by people who agree with us and don't, you know, I'm not saying they don't challenge us. Of course they challenge us. But, you know, at least, again, I was talking earlier on about the echo chamber, you know, at least you know what you have to say is not going to be shouted down or shamed, you know. So it's quite a different thing to go, well, actually, there's a whole world out there needing to hear this stuff.
That's right. And it's very important that they do. So I think it's good for us to be challenged. As I said, we put a little kind of newsletter out, and I said, we haven't stopped. Church has never stopped, but we've just done things in a different way.
Sure.
And I think that's great. God's always on the move. He's always leading us somewhere. And that's kind of scary, because we don't like the unknown. We don't like change. But I was doing a service. We had the privilege of doing an RTE TV service 2 Sundays ago, the 21st.
That's right.
And that was kind of my theme of... you know, I looked through the Bible at the wonderful stories of the like of Joseph or Daniel or the people of Israel or wherever it may be, and they ended up in situations that were not of their choosing, and they were kind of saying, "How did we get here? And what does the future look like?" And they had no idea. But the final question was, "Where is God in all of this?" And over again, God proved to be at the very heart of what was going on. So we have to trust God's at the heart of what's going on here too. This virus hasn't taken him by surprise. And even though we're all kind of chasing our tails, but you know, he knows what's going on, and we just need to be sensitive to his leading, and who knows what wonderful things will happen.
Yeah, absolutely. So what would you say to people who are a little bit fearful now about the future?
Yeah, well, that would be a very natural response. So if you feel a bit fearful for the future, you know, that's perfectly understandable, because none of us know. I mean, church-wise is one thing, but my own daughters and their work, I don't know what their work's going to look like, or if there's going to be a job for them.
Yeah.
And so they're thinking, you know, just how do we survive? What are we going to do? Where are we going? So it is shaking us all up.
Yeah.
But I suppose for those of us who have faith, the one we need to keep going and coming back to is to fix our eyes in Jesus, you know? And even though we're a bit collywobbly inside and our spirits are like jelly sometimes, you know, to fix our eyes on him, and he's the rock that doesn't move. He's the one thing we can, the one person we can rely on and trust. And just try to do that. You know, I was saying, as I was kind of doing daily broadcasts most of the way through up into the last couple of weeks, and we're saying about this time is a gift, maybe to get physically fit and spiritually fit, you know. And again, this is the challenge of God all the way through the Bible, puts us through times of testing and the unknown, but it's always when we put our trust in him, it's always for our growth, it's always for our benefit. We don't like it, we wouldn't choose it, but ultimately it is good for us, you know. And over and over again, God tells his people, don't be afraid, don't be worried about tomorrow, you know, trust me for today. Like the Israelites in the desert and being, you know, getting the manna and the quail, enough for today, give us this day our daily bread. And I think we need to live, in a sense, day by day, and realize that we're completely dependent on him. Again, that was kind of the things I talked about in the RT thing. You know, we're not in control. We like to think we're in control, but nobody is.
Sure.
And we're not free. None of us are free except in Jesus. And those great truths we hang on to, and we become fruitful within them. So if you're frightened, that's understandable. But let your fears turn to prayer and trust. You know, Jesus said to the disciples just before he died, you believe in God, believe me, trust me, you know, and we've got to keep trusting him.
Amen.
He is our rock.
Amen. Wow, that's great. Thank you so much. Great talking to you, and been lovely. The inputs and stuff that you've given over the last number of months throughout COVID.
Well, I am going to miss you terribly.
Oh, well, likewise.
We're all going to miss you terribly, and you've been fantastic. And to keep us going through this time, you know, stations like Spirit Radio are so important for bringing truth and not letting fear dominate us, but actually speaking life and truth. And that's what all of you guys have been doing through this period of time, and will going forward. But I personally will miss you. You missed you badly, Ronan.
Likewise.
And, hope we can meet up again.
Absolutely. You're on, man. Thank you. Yeah. God bless you. Gary McDowell, Minister at Presbyterian, at Greystones Presbyterian Church in County Wicklow. Thank you so much for talking to us this morning.
Thank you. Bye. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.